In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Every miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ has a message. That's why some of the miracles are called signs. You know the sign, when you see sign on the highway, what's the purpose of the sign? Give you a message. So the message, every miracle has a message behind it, not just to show great work of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, but also to give a message, or maybe a couple of messages from the same miracle. So today the miracle is basically a normal healing miracle. But what was amazing about it, it was done because of the faith, not of the person who was sick, but of his friends. Man had four friends. They believed that Jesus can heal him. He was paralytic. They carried him, couldn't reach the Lord. They jumped on the roof of the house, knocked down the roof, let down the man. And the gospel says, when he saw their faith, he healed the man. When he saw their faith, not his faith, their faith that made them do all of this. So basically, the miracle today related to four men. Sorry, ladies, you took your share last Sunday. So today is about men. Last Sunday was about women, but today is four men. They did wonderful deed, and Jesus really praised their faith by healing the man. And he wanted us to praise them too. That's why they were written in the gospel. We also can do great things, and we can get wonderful miracles of the Lord. But it took four people to do that miracle. It took four people for the Lord to see their faith and do that miracle. There was no way one of the four could have done it by himself. It needed four men. Four of them together, carry the man, bring him. The fathers of the church say that these four men, they represent actually the church. You know, we have four ranks in the church. We have the bishops, and of course the patriarch is the head of the bishops, or the archbishop. And there are the priests, and there are the deacons, including the servants, and there are the laymen. So four ranks in the church. So these people represented the church, or the community of the church, or the koinonia, the fellowship, the four together doing something great. Meaning, the church is not one person. And for something great to happen, it needed the help of those. It needed the body of Christ. It needed more just than one. Needed the church, the entire church, the body of Christ together. Why? Why the Lord actually stressed so much on doing things like in community, in koinonia, in fellowship? Why more than one? Why did he say, if two or three gather in my name, I will be in their midst? Because when a group of people get together, when group, I mean, of believers get together, that means that's the body of Christ. And there is strength in the believers getting together, because it's not their strength, it's the strength of the presence of the Lord himself. He said that when believers gather together in my name, in love, they have the strength of the Lord himself. Actually, we believe that the church is the continuation of the presence of Christ on earth. This is his continuation. Jesus still lives in the world through his body, which is the church, which is the group of believers together. They form something called the body of Christ. And before I go out of this, I just want to remind you of one thing. Just to tell you how powerful is the body of Christ, and how it's just as powerful as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I want to ask you, how do you say your creed? You say the creed. You say, I believe in God the Father and His only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit. And there is one sentence that we say it quickly in the end. And sometimes we don't think about it much. After I say, I believe in God, in the end I say, and in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. What does that mean? That I believe in God and I believe in His body, which is the church. Same way I believe in God. I say it in the same creed, which I confess in it my faith. But I really hope that we mean it when we say it. The group of believers together, they form the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's called one holy Catholic, means universal, and apostolic church. St. Paul said that in Romans 12. He said, for as we have many members in one body, like the body, the normal body, we have many members, but all the members do not have the same function. Different members with different functions means that we are different. The four men, they were not four copies of one man. They were four different men. And when men are different, they are different, very different. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. It's the one body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the church. Some of us is the feet of that body. Some of us are mouth, right? Some are nose. Different members of just the one body of Christ. And it is just as powerful as the presence of God Himself. And because this is something hard to keep and to sustain, the Bible told us, make sure that you keep the unity of that body of Christ, because out of it you will gain great resources out of there. In the book of Ephesians, St. Paul spoke about that, and he said, I therefore, the prison of the Lord, actually this part, for I say it, we say it every single day in the morning prayer. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. He said, I beseech you, I beg you to keep the unity of the Spirit, the unity of heart. Because there is something great. There is great power coming out of this. Great power that you cannot imagine. Things that you can never, ever, ever do by yourself whatsoever. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on earth, He focused so much on the love of the disciples together, on their unity. And He said, by this, they will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And He kept pushing for that. And for the love and the unity amongst them. That being said, I think the message today is clear, that God is doing the grand opening ceremony for the 12 campaign. I think He's launching the 12 campaign for us today. Because the 12 campaign is exactly about this. If there is any miracle in the Bible that shows what the message of the 12 campaign is, it's this miracle. That what one person can never do by himself, it takes four to do it, and they will do it. And God will be with them. And they will have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, not their own power. Not because there is strength in unity, as the world says. No, it's not normal strength. It's the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and His presence amongst His believers and amongst the church. It's a mystery. Do we understand God fully? No, but we believe. Do we understand what does it mean to two become one in marriage? We don't understand how this, but we believe it. We see it mystically. Same thing as the church. There is a mystical power. There is a mystical strength of the group of believers coming together in unity. It is the power of the Lord and His presence Himself. So, I think God is encouraging us. He said, I'll give you a good example of a small group. So He gave us a good example of a small group today. The four men were, what were they doing? Taking one of the small group members to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were a small group, right? Four makes a small group. That's what it is. So I think that's an encouragement from the Lord Himself for everyone. But if we don't want to do something great or see something great that the Lord can do through us, then that's our choice. So I think it's a great encouragement from the Lord Himself to be in a small group and to understand that there is a mystery, but just you have to believe it and go on. You have to do it with faith. Because I know a lot of people say, I just don't see this happening. How? What does it mean if some people get together, do something great? When people get together, they gossip, they do nonsense, and sometimes we sin when we gather together and we talk about people, and sometimes we hurt each other. That's not what it is. Yes, there is a danger of people getting together, but not believers getting together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Doing something for God and not only for themselves. Don't ever think that when you become in a small group that you are serving yourself and you say, I need it or I don't need it. It's not for you. It's actually for someone else. The four men, they help someone else. Someone who's handicapped. Someone who couldn't help himself. It's not for them. But don't you think that they got something great out of it? They got something wonderful. They were praised. They were in the gospel. They made it to history for doing something for others, stepping out of themselves for a little bit. Book of Ecclesiastes also gives us encouragement in that, and he says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Good reward for their labor. So it works with the miracle today. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. That's exactly what happened. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I love this last phrase. Threefold cord is not quickly broken. Sometimes you can cut metal. If you can try to make it pieces, but when you take something even very, very soft, but you fold it together, it becomes very strong and not easily broken. That's a promise from God. As I said, I believe that today is a message of encouragement from the Lord Himself, more than anything else. Encouragement to do something together, believing not in each other, not in a group of people who cannot do anything, but believing in the presence of the Lord who promised that when we gather, He will be in our midst. So, three things quickly we will learn from these people before we leave. As I said, the message is just an encouragement to go forward with the campaign. The first lesson we learned from them is they cared for their hurting friend. It's got to start with love. Love was the driving force behind what they did. And I'm sure that every one of us has love for someone or for something. I know for sure, you see someone who is handicapped, you see someone who is brokenhearted, you see someone who is jobless, you see someone who is sick, I know your heart goes out for him. But what else? What's next? Nothing. You know why? Because you cannot do anything by yourself. You cannot do it. How can you help someone who's got great need, you by yourself? It's very hard. That's why the love gets killed right there, because I cannot do it. I know you cannot do it. God knows you cannot do it, and he can't ask you for more. But he knows that it takes four people to do that. Go get yourself some other people to do what you have passion for, what you got love for. I love it when a group of people have a dream together for something. Let me give you a practical example. Something, I hope it continues, something started, and I hope it will continue in the church. Someone had a passion for people who are jobless. He said, you know, that's not good. Or to see someone who can get a great career, but he doesn't have a good career. He needs just some help here and there. His heart goes out for him. So he sees other people who have the same passion, and they get together, they form something. We want to help our brothers, so let's do, for example, a career center, just to help those who are without a career or without a job. They have a dream that what they went through, nobody will go through, to help others. One cannot do it. One cannot do it. I promise you, this thing was on my heart for the past 10 years. And I told at least 5 different individuals. None of them did anything. But 2-3 get together, they do something good. Some people have passion for example, for people who are sick with cancer. No one can ever imagine what a cancer patient goes through unless some people go through it themselves. But they don't want to see anyone suffering in that. So what do we do? Let's get together and help. I have a dream. And we have a dream together that no one will be suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ sent us to help those. And you think when they help someone, they're not helped themselves? No. They get a great reward for their labor, as the Bible said right here. We said that every small group, it's great that they have a dream, that they have a vision, something that they would love to get done together that no one person can do. Have a lot of passion. I would like to do great things, but I don't. I cannot by myself. So that's the first step. The second step, that these four men, they crossed the barrier. The barrier. What is the barrier? You think the roof? No. Or the crowd of people? No. Or how heavy the person was? They had so many barriers. But they had one main barrier that they crossed over. Is themselves. Is their ego. Is the differences. I cannot work with this person. I cannot do that. This is not my type. This is not what I like to do. I promise you, this is the hardest thing. If I get over this, if I get over the I, sometimes, which is my worst enemy, then it's easy. It's easy. There is so many physical problems and so many technical issues here and there, but this is not the problem. The biggest problem is me, is what I want. And this got to change. Before I join a group of people or a small group or the body of Christ, that I want to become part of that. And I would love to be part of that. But again, it's me. It's the mentality of we cannot do things together. The mentality that we are different. I know that we are different. But it's actually a beauty. It's the mentality, if you can see the differences as advantage and not disadvantage. If I'm a little bit egoistic, then I see the differences as a problem because it's against me personally. But if I can get over that for a little bit, I would see the differences as we are completing each other. As we're filling the gaps, as we're forming something great. How can we fix this mentality? I'm telling you, the main thing that can stop you from doing something great in this upcoming campaign is one thing. It's the ego, what I want to do. Okay? Because you cannot form a group of people together and everyone just cares for himself. No, I have to look out a little bit. So, how to change this mentality? I believe in this verse in Romans 12 that we shouldn't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, be different by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I know what I want to do. I want to stay in my house, do what I want to do. But is that what God wants me to do? That's a question to ask ourselves. Sometimes it's God's will to go out of your comfort zone for a little bit. Just a little bit, in order to experience great things. I want to tell you something. These people, they didn't do something humongous. They just carried their friend and brought him to God. But they made it to history and to the Bible. Why? Because something great. They got over, you know, David, he overcame Goliath. But he overcame someone who is even stronger than Goliath before beating Goliath. You know who he beat? He beat David. Beat himself first. His ego, what he wants to do. You think anyone in the world would like to face a giant? Is it a hobby to face a giant? No way. But it's not what he wants to do. It's what God wants him to do. What God wanted them to do. Last thing I say is they had a collective faith in a great Savior. What is the collective faith? Listen here, this is a term of my own. This is not theological or a spiritual term. Okay, I made it up. Collective faith. Jesus said that you need little faith to move a mountain. Just little faith, just as a mustard seed. When you tell people that, what is the answer? What is the usual answer? I don't even have that. Mustard seed, I don't have even that. Okay, how about you got a quarter of that? If you got just a quarter of that, let's put the four quarters together and then maybe you have a mustard seed to move a mountain or a greater than a mountain, to move a sick person to the Lord or to move whatever outside the church into the church to do something great for the Lord. Our church do believe in that a lot, or else why do we do the commemoration of the saints and why we ask for their intercession? You know what we do? Is we do the collective faith. Is support me with your faith. Pray with me that we have a stronger faith. Why prayer is not answered? The only thing is if it's prayed without faith. So what do? I intercede. I ask people, pray with me, help me. Just add your faith to my faith so we do something great. Sometimes we're discouraged. We need that encouragement, that little push here and there to do something great. Collective faith. Maybe your faith is just useless by itself. By itself. But if you add it to someone else or to a group of people, you may do wonders. You may do wonders. But in the end, it takes four people to do the job, not one. So I hope you are really encouraged and enthusiastic about the campaign. We kicked off last Friday in the Karma meeting, and this Sunday, Light and Life will be the first time and the Arabic sermon here. And I hope we do it with all our hearts, because the Lord already cannot be any clearer than this. We never planned, by the way, the launch of the campaign to be with this gospel reading. I just opened the gospel reading, recently, and I just found it but I was really encouraged, and I hope you the same. Glory be to God forever and forever.